Boss, ain't you going to bed?
Not right now.
Ain't you planning on going to bed in the near future?
No.
You ever going to bed?
No.
Well, I ain't sleepy either.
Good, then have a drink.
You're no match for my brains.
You're that smart.
Let me put it this way. Have you ever heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates?
Yes.
Morons.
In that case, I challenge you to a battle of wits.
To the death, I accept.
Good, then pour the wine.
It's The Wine Crush, a show that's all about the grape. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
She was one tough old mama.
I don't like fast women.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your Chardonnay sipping wine diva. Welcome you to another week of the show that's all about the grape and all its glory and everything you could ever want to know about the glass, what goes in it, and the lifestyle it creates. We encourage all of you, check out our website, winecrush.com, so you can get caught up on what we talked about in the past. And it's also a great way for you to be interactive with us. After all, the show is all about you, your calls, your emails, and any exciting tidbit you think you might want to know about wine. So we've had a lot of fun last show talking about the inauguration. It is behind us. We have our 44th president installed, and I think everything went over. It was a smashing success. But what was interesting, for those of you who listened to our last show, we raised a lot of questions about what was going to be served, what was poured, and where the wine prerogative was on this inauguration. So those of you, stay tuned. We'll definitely touch base on that later in the show. But we do have a great show coming up for you today. We have an interesting guest. Her name is Miss Alice Fearing. She wrote a book called The Battle for Wine and Love, or How I Saved the World from Parkerization. Sounds like a woman after my own heart. We're going to talk about the whole concept of green. Not the It's Not Easy Being Green by Kermit, but the true concept of what a green winery is. And of course, we're going to take your calls, your emails, and get you involved in the show. For those of you who'd like to do so, you can reach us at 877-4-CRUSH-1, or you can email us at info@winecrush.com. Well, as we start the January New Year's, we get involved in what's happening in 2009. There are a couple buzzwords for those of you who follow wine are going to trip over and over again. One of them is green. One of them is biodynamic. One of them is sustainable. One of them is zero carbon. And after a while, you sit back and you start looking at all these words and say, I just want a glass of Chardonnay. How is all this impactful? Well, for those of us on the insider side of the business, we've been hearing these words for the last 24 months. People will come in and say, my wine is organic. My wine is biodynamic. And all of us would say, my God, this sounds interesting. This is exciting. This is something new. 24 months later, I've kind of had enough of it personally, but it is relevant to you. And these are terms that as we move forward in this year, 2009, you're going to have to know. So that's kind of the gist of today's show, is we're going to go over some of these terms and these acronyms you're going to see on wine labels that are going to be kind of confusing. So we're going to educate you today. Terrifying, I know. Let's start here. People are saying my wine is organic. That simply means that there is a certain certification the state of California puts on wineries. It's very costly. It's very effort consuming for these wineries to go out and become organic. Ultimately, it boils down to there are no human produced chemicals used on the vineyard. You can use copper, you can use sulfur, but as far as overall pesticides that may be created, think back to, I don't know, DDT, things like that, those things are not allowed on the vineyards anymore. And people who produce wineries that have contract-grown grapes, meaning they don't own all their land, all the people who grow their grapes don't use chemicals, don't use pesticides. So that's the basic gist of organic. For those of you who really want an in-depth view of that, go back on the Wine Crush website. There was an interview with George Vieira, who definitely took that to the nth degree. Biodynamic is something else that you are seeing on wine labels and you're seeing people talk about. And biodynamic, it is a very stretched concept. And it goes back, for those of you who actually know Ben Franklin's Farmer's Almanac, it takes that to the ninth degree insofar as plant by this moonrise, harvest by this moonset, get out, make a tea made of manure, bury it in your vineyard in a cow horn bone and then dance around it naked in the moonlight. I'm telling you, biodynamic rules are very, very strange. But ultimately, it just means giving back to the earth, following the earth's natural patterns. Which leads to the other term you're going to hear a lot of is sustainability. And I think this is really where we should stand up and pay attention. You've hit the point now where many wineries are saying, I'm organic, I'm biodynamic. But ultimately what it means to us is the land is going to be there for our children and our grandchildren. And that's where sustainability comes into play. It means that I'm not going to abuse the land. I'm not going to put these terrible chemicals in it. I am not going to strip it. I am not going to rip out 200-year-old redwoods to put in a vineyard. It just means I'm going to deal with the land as God gave it to us, and we're going to move on from that. And I think that's a very noble cause, and I think every vineyard out there should really make an effort to make this their number one priority. That goes hand in hand with today's topic, which is green. Green can be very, very simple. It can be very, very easy. It just means don't tear up the environment any more than you have to, and definitely don't tear it up to the point where no one behind you can use it. And I think we'll get a little further in depth to that as we get our guest on and as we answer some questions. So now would be a really good time in this first section to take an email. This email comes from Doug in New York City. What does green mean? I hear a lot about green, and when I ask a wine store, they give me a wine called Vino Verde. I don't understand that. Okay, what you have, Doug, go find another wine store. That's the best advice I can give you. Vino Verde tends to be a Portuguese or a Spanish wine, and Vino Verde literally is green wine. It can be made from Verdelejo, it can be made from Albarino, it can be made from a number of different types of grapes. Great wine for those of you out there who haven't had a chance to have a Vino Verde. Inexpensive, good varietal, nice acidity. Think Sauvignon Blanc with an attitude. I think you'll love it. But Doug, to answer your question, green. To be a certified winery in California, a green certified winery demonstrates a commitment to conserving water and energy, reducing waste, and preventing pollution. Who could ask for more than that when it comes down to summarizing green? Be clean, be nice, be kind to the environment. So that's what we're going to talk about today for a change. We're going to be clean, we're going to be nice, and we're going to talk sweetly about the environment at least occasionally. So coming up, we're going to have Alice and talk about what parkerization is. And of course, we're going to talk to you and get some calls and emails. So more on all that when we return.
Yes, America's favorite program will be back. You'll get more laughs, more fun, more thrill.
This is the Wine Crush.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? You're not alone. Increasing prices and the costs of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts in collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
If you're self-employed or run a small business, you know your business bottom line. But do you know your bottom line when it comes to your family's health insurance? The Mega Life and Health Insurance Company helps self-employed folks and small business owners focus on the bottom line every day when it comes to their health insurance plans. Here's the bottom line. If you don't have the right health insurance plan, you could be in trouble. Check your health insurance coverage today and call Mega, where the bottom line is quality health insurance designed for the self-employed and small business owners.
Call now for your free health insurance quote. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437. Market and plans vary by state. Not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities.
Have a banana.
Eating well.
Have two bananas.
And playing.
Come on, Baloo.
Go together like best friends.
You better believe it.
With the food pyramid, the bare necessities of living healthy are easy.
That bring the bare necessities of life.
It gives you just the right amount of grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and meats and beans.
Crazy.
So eat right.
You eat ants?
You're gonna love the way they tickle.
Be active.
I'll move. That's it.
And don't forget to have fun.
You're lots of fun, Baloo.
That's the way to be the best.
You're all right, kid.
At anything you do.
Yeah, man.
You can go to mypyramid.gov to play some games and find out more.
Me and Baloo, we've got things to do.
This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ag Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys. You going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your Chardonnay sipping wine diva, welcoming you to another edition of The Crush. Today we are going green here at the studio and telling you how wine, besides the color, can occasionally be green and good for the environment. It's interesting, we think about the way we can drink better and drink safer for the environment, and I think most of us, the number one thing we come up with is recycling. We can recycle all those bottles that they drink. I have to admit, I am a secret recycler. I put all the bottles in my car, and then I take them to a recycling place because I don't want my neighbors to see the recycle bin sitting out front of my house with, I don't know, maybe the 24 to 36 bottles a week that are out there. They already know what I do for a living. I just don't want to realize how well that I do it. So one way that we can go green is really going to catch your interest. It is the generation of electricity that is the leading contributor to air pollution in the United States. I've never really realized that, but it is truth. It is fact. The fact that we have things to listen to our radio station on is cause of electricity. And one way to get around that is to go to solar. And that's what a lot of the wineries in California are doing right now. So when you drive up Highway 29, the Silverado Trail, or up in that area, you can look, and if you see windmills, and if you see all those solar reflections, you can know that that winery is working on being green certified. But we have a guest right now who can tell us much more about being green and being certified other than looking for windmills. Right now, we have Miss Alice Fearing joining us. She is a James Beer Foundation award-winning journalist whose blog, In Vino Veritas, oh, I like that name, was named one of the 7 best by Food & Wine. Formerly the wine and travel columnist for Time, she writes for the New York Times, the San Francisco Chronicle, and Gourmet, along with many others. Alice, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Thanks for having me. It's great being here.
Oh, it's fun to have you on here. I am so excited about your book, and our listeners are going to have to check out the website to get the complete title and to understand it. But The Battle for Wine and Love, or How I Saved the World from Parkerization.
Yes.
You are a brilliant woman. For our listeners, the Parkerization she is referring to is Robert Parker, probably the most world-renowned American critic that's out there. But Alice, why don't you tell us all about that?
Well, actually, I think Bob Parker is the most famous wine critic of of all time.
All right.
And I wrote the book because I kind of got frustrated that there was so little that I was able to drink out there, and seemed like all of my favorite wines were disappearing from the universe, so I felt I had to do something about it, and writing a book seemed to be a good way to do it.
It definitely sounds like a good way to take a stand. Explain how you think your wines are disappearing.
Well, I am a bit of a traditionalist. I like my wines to, by my first sip and taste, to be able to tell me where they come from, something about the vintage that they were grown in. So I want to hear through that glass what they, I want to hear what they have to tell me, as opposed to what a winemaker wants to do to it to make it suit another man's taste.
So you're a purist. You like to taste the terroir.
Yes, and I start from the fact that wine is going to, the grapes are going to be grown at least organically, or at least with no chemicals. I don't feel that you can really make an expressive wine from chemicalized soil. And then after that, I really don't want any manipulation, any additives. And there are plenty of additives in our daily wine these days.
What are some examples of additives you find in daily wine?
Well, yeast for one, and that's actually pretty, it's pretty innocuous, because we all eat bread, and most of the bread is made from packaged yeast. But there's very, very sophisticated yeast that do change the aromas and the taste of wine. So I like my wine to have no extra added yeast except for what is on the grape skin or living in the winery. Then another additive, gum arabic for mouthfeel. Who knew?
No. What is gum arabic?
It is from a plant, and it is what makes chewing gum.
Okay.
All chewy, and sometimes you even find it in ice cream. And I take my ice cream, I look at it, and I go, gee, I don't want that. I'm not going to buy that ice cream.
It does make sense. There are a lot of different additives when you look at wine. Right. But
that's the kind of thing that if you get a little pudding-like texture in your wine, it may be gum arabic, it may be gelatin.
Okay. Now, isn't gelatin sometimes used to filter the wine?
Yeah, it is. But depending on how much you're going to use of it, you can also adjust the flavor and the texture of the wine.
Do you think, I think we're predominantly talking about California winemakers and California wineries when you're talking about people manipulating things. Do you think any of that has, everyone's coming to the concept of globalization. Australia has a certain way they make wines for Americans to like. Chile does too. Obviously, the French are changing their labels so that they can get American to drink more of their wine. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's a version of the internet? Is that because the whole world is getting closer? We're getting to be a smaller planet? Or do you think they're really trying to impress their taste on ours?
Well, making wine for a certain market is a longstanding tradition. The Brits always liked a more oxidized champagne, so, and a sweeter champagne at one point. But right now, I put that in the Parkerization and the globalization part of the universe. So since Parker, if he gives a high score for a wine, that wine becomes a big seller. That taste is emulated throughout the world because everybody wants to be in a Parker-proofed wine. Now, technology is one of those ways to get there.
They are definitely proving that. There was just a study done where they can actually go into a laboratory at UC Davis. They can sit down, they can map out each component that goes into a bottle of Margaux, and they can recreate that. So I can see where you're going with that.
Yeah, you just little get a reverse osmosis machine and basically paint by numbers.
Alice, looking at things like you do, how do you feel about winemakers like Michelle Roland, who goes around the world and assist wineries in making their wines so that they are good, they are solid wines? Do you think that's a hurt?
Questions.
I'm sorry.
It's good. I love it. I love it. I love your show. The concept, it's a very modern concept, which started out as just a curiosity. A winemaker wants to go and play and see the way another vineyard can make wine, and what is it like in another climate? And I understand that creativity, but at a certain point when it comes a flying winemaker and somebody, it has an effect of homogenizing a taste of wine, and there's no doubt about it that a Michel Roland stamp on a wine is there, and it overrides the terroir for me.
So looking at terroir and having your opinions, Burgundy, Spain, which one's your favorite? Italy?
Spain. I'm going to Spain in a couple of weeks. France. It's France, France, France. Right now, France is just a hotbed of excitement for me. And there's a whole renaissance of natural wines, the kind of wines that I do love to drink. And it is starting to spread. So now I'm being able to go back to the wines that I love of Italy and find more there, because they kind of like had disappeared for about 15 years. Spain is starting to come around. And for some odd reason, Spain's the only place that has bought foreign rights to my book. And for some reason, I'm a hero over there, I should say heroine. Don't quite understand it, because they've really gone for globalization in a big way.
I can see that, but also I can see why they'd want your book and be behind it, because I think Spain, of all countries, when you do historical research on their vineyards and their old bodegas, they are the ones that were totally naturally farmed.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. And I think the only technology, you look at La Mancha and what they're doing there in the center of the country, that's where you see the high-tech stuff, but I can see where they'd just be all over you with the concepts in your book.
We'll find out.
Do you have a website where people can find more out about your book and about you?
Yes, it is alicefeiring.com, alicefeiring.com, or if you just Google Alice Wine, it usually comes to me.
All right. Well, we appreciate you being part of the show, and we encourage our listeners, get out there and see how Alice saved the world from Parkerization. And Alice, hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you after you come back from Spain. And assuming you do, they may worship you so much over there, they'll give you a crown and a scepter, and we may not hear from you again.
You can hear from me again. I'll be back.
Well, Alice, we'll certainly give you a call, and thank you for taking your time to be on The Crush today.
Well, thanks for asking me. Pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye now. All right, so we're wrapping up the concept of Parkerization, and it does bring to mind something I'm curious, and I'd love to have our listeners respond to this. Do you see globalization going on with wine? For those of you who drink a lot, for those of you who drink a little, are you seeing consistencies between California, Australia? Are you starting to find that all wine tastes alike? Call us, let us know, 877-4-CRUSH-1, or email us, info@winecrush.com. All right, coming up on the show, we'll have answers to some of the questions I posed about the Obama inauguration. And of course, more importantly, we'll have your calls and your emails.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
8. We've worked together for years.
7. I'm the parking attendant. I park your car every day.
1 in 8 Americans is struggling with hunger.
6. We speak at PTA meetings all the time.
Including millions of children and seniors.
5. I went to summer camp with your son last year.
4. I'm your old friend. We went to high school together.
Someone you know is in need.
3. I work at the gas station. I pump your gas.
2. I'm your neighbor. Our kids are classmates.
Who's the 1 in 8 in your life that needs help?
1. We live next door to each other.
You can make a difference through Feeding America and its nationwide network of more than 200 food banks. Take action at feedingamerica.org/1in8. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and you are listening in to the largest wine show on radio right now. We're having a lot of fun, and we got to thank you for making us that denomination. All right, we just talked to Miss Alice Fearing, who is the author of How I Saved the World from Parkerization. And to tie this together with today's theme, we're talking about green mostly on the show, but what Alice is advocating is people sticking by their terroir to make the wine that the grapes produce. And this is something that's a main reason of why a lot of wineries are going green. There is a big difference in the dirt in Napa Valley, California, in Burgundy, France, and down in Mendoza, Chile. But if everybody uses the same pesticides and everyone uses the same chemicals and everyone uses the same type of remedial weed killer that people tend to do, then all of a sudden there's a crossover and you can find the wines tasting more and more alike. If you go green, if you go sustainable, then the only thing you're really relying on is what you have in the dirt, what you have in the environment around you, your macroclimate. So obviously it's going to taste more like the area it comes from. It's a little confusing, but ultimately it's kind of like if one person in France has a certain way of they like to do things and they're very set on how they want their vines done and their wines tended to, and one person in California has a set way of what they want to do, these two will never cross paths. They don't have to share chemicals, they don't share yeast, and they know exactly what they're doing in the vineyards. The chances of these two wines tasting alike are slim to none. So it just keeps individuality between regions and between wine, and that's a great thing. Looking ahead and looking a little deeper on the green thing, of course, I mentioned the solar energy thing, and there are so many wineries that are getting on board with this. Actually, it's interesting. Some of the wineries, you can think about wineries, during the harvest season is when they are doing the biggest, the most production. When you're looking at them right now, January and February, it's pretty darn quiet in the wine scene. So they aren't using as much energy. They sell it back to the state of California. There is actually a little town called Gonzales, California. And wineries sell enough power back that the whole town of Gonzales is strictly solar energy from the wineries. Great way to give back to the community there. But besides solar energy, there's different ways they can make their winery green. One of them has been a long-standing tradition, gravity-feed wineries, meaning that when the grapes come in, they come in higher than the vat, so there's no pumping involved. Farniente comes to mind. There are a lot of winemakers that think gravity-feed wineries help not crush the grapes and batter the juice enough so you get better flavors. So not only are you good for the environment, your wine tastes better. Another way they can look at it, and I think this is amazing, is reforesting. And this goes into the zero carbon footprint thing that we're seeing a lot of companies do. Yes, we have to ship our wines all the way across the country, but if I plant 2,000 trees, then it kind of balances out the carbon that's produced by those trucks. Great winery right now, Trinity Oaks. For every bottle of Trinity Oaks wine that you buy, they're going to plant a seedling. So for those of you who are into hugging trees or hope your children will be hugging trees in about 20 years, please buy a bottle of Trinity Oaks. They'll plant a tree for you. Here are two questions. When I was doing the homework on green and talking to different winemakers, they mentioned two things. And I'm asking you, our listeners, to help me clarify these things on green because I'm not sure I grasp it entirely. The first I'm really not getting a handle on is using plastic bottles to put the wine in. They say that the plastic bottles, they don't impart any kind of plastic taste to the wines, and they also make the cases lighter, and by making the cases of wine lighter, there's less shipping involved, and because there's less shipping weight involved, there's less carbon. I don't know about y'all. Have y'all all seen the commercials where they have the, I think it's Brita, they have the little bottle of water, and the bottle sits there and sits there 1 hour on our lips, 1,000 years in a landfill? I want to know how these plastic bottles can possibly be helping the world go greener. If anyone has an answer to that, call us, 877-4-CRUSH-1. I have to be missing something somewhere. The other thing is when you actually see the wines packaged, to use cardboard instead of wood. It seems to me that, yes, cardboard can be recycled, but if you use the same wooden cases over and over and over again, it seems like that would be a little greener than making more cardboard. But once again, I don't know. I'm a business major. All I think about is whether or not it's going to sell. So enlighten me. Give me an idea of why these things might be green. But past that, there are a couple wineries that really come to mind. For those of you who are into the green movement, you're into the organic movement, the biodynamic movement, I would recommend these people who have been on the forefront. Fetzer Vineyards has always been on the forefront of organic movements and biodynamic movements. But Fetzer, Patiano, Jericho, Ciego, Parducci, Trinity Oaks, Domaine Carnera, Schaefer, Bonterra, these are all wineries that are leading the way into this movement. So I encourage all of you, if you're behind this, look for those wineries on your shelf, look for them in the restaurant, and help support us being green. All right, I promise you, I will give you the answers we found out about Obama and his inauguration wines. We will also take your calls, your emails, and actually let you have a voice here on the show. In the meantime, for those of you who may have missed the earlier part, you can check us out at winecrush.com. And for those of you who didn't quite get all the inauguration show, you can download and listen to it there. So, more on all this fun stuff when we return.
Little glass of wine.
Norrie wants us to finish this bottle and then three more. Says he'll water his garden with champagne before he'll let the Germans drink it. He's looking at you, kid.
The Wine Crush.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, Call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max, easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean it.
Log on to Z-Max.com and find a retail performance partner. Z-Max, performance you can feel.
It is with sound mind and body that I, James Fredericks III, after fighting with all direct family members for decades, leave my entire fortune of $32 million to the one friend I had in the end, the package delivery guy, Matt Songer.
Woohoo! Yeah! I had a feeling about this. Uh-huh! I'm rich! Oh, this cannot be happening.
Actually, it's not happening.
What?
And it never will.
I don't get it.
There aren't even people here. That's just one of those murmuring sound effects.
Seriously?
Listen, if you want to have money in your future, don't rely on luck.
Huh.
Put $10 away each month. Cook once in a while instead of eating out.
Okay.
Pay down your high-interest credit cards.
Right.
Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow.
So, no inheritance?
No. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And just to be clear, no inheritance, right?
The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your host for this story and journey of the grape today. We're having fun talking about green wine. The only thing I miss right now is Kermit. We need Kermit the Frog here and singing to us. But past that, we're learning a little bit about the whole environment conscience movement that's going on in the world of wine. For those of you who are interested, I know we have to have our little gossip columns here occasionally. And there is an article from treehugger.com. And it's talking about Chateau Val Joannes from Provence, France. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie put the ooh in ooh la la in sustainable wines. The hot power couple that we oh so like to ogle has their eyes set on organic winemaking. Last summer, they moved into the Chateau Val Joannes, a 1,000-acre estate featuring one of the oldest operating vineyards in the world. The property boasts organic grapes, a veggie and herb garden, an olive orchard, and fruit trees. Because the vineyard yields wine below the general average output, it's easy to operate sustainably without the use of chemicals or mineral fertilizers. Only time will tell if Brad and Angie are going to continue making wine or come out with their own label. It'll be interesting. I wonder what they would call it. There we go. There is the wine question of the week. Email us, info@winecrush.com, and let us know what you think Brad and Angie would call their wine if they made it. A couple interesting things come to mind, but my producer is too close. She may hit me, so we'll skip those. All right, I had promised you earlier on, we had asked and pondered and dwelled on what we thought would be drunk at the inauguration of Obama. And unfortunately, I still don't have answers, but I have been given some insight. The Chicago Tribune reports that election night, the sparkling wine made by Graham Beck, it comes from South Africa, was what was consumed that evening. And apparently the next week, all the stores sold out. So we know they like South African sparkling, but as we remembered, they can't drink that at the White House since it's only California wines. Duckhorn Vineyards and Goldeneye Winery both were served at the first two courses of the official inauguration lunch. So at least we know Goldeneye, Duckhorn, and they have good taste in things. That was Duckhorn Sauvignon Blanc and Goldeneye Pinot Noir. So at least we have an idea of what the Obamas will be drinking. I know they had a cellar in their house in Chicago. Let's see if they reactivate the cellar at the White House. All right. Well, we promised that we would allow you some time on the show and not just me. So right now we have Jerry on the wine line.
I have a question regarding Stag's Leap wine. I'm a big fan of that winery. And after the holidays, I'm a little tight on my budget, and I'm not able to afford Stag's Leap right now. But I wanted to see if you had any recommendations of another wine that might be in the same category as Stag's Leap.
This actually leads me to a fun answer, Jerry, and I know it's not what you're looking for, but this is a great thing to look for in this value-conscious economy that we're in. A lot of these big, powerful wineries do things like second labels. And what a second label is, you have wines, obviously Stag's Leap, very, very well known for their Fay, their SLV, some interesting things in their Cabernet. But all the juice and everything that they have their paws on isn't necessarily 100% up to standard to go in, say, the SLV Cabernet. So all of a sudden they have this juice that's really, really good, and they don't want to sell it. So what they do is they create a second bottling. Hawk's Crest is a wine that's produced by Stag's Leap, and it's available fairly regularly on your retail shelves. You can find it in restaurants, and it's their second label. If you really sat back and looked at a lot of these big wineries, they all have second labels. A winery I mentioned earlier, Trinity Oaks, that's part of the Sutter Home Consortium. You can't necessarily find it saying produced by Sutter Home on the bottle, but that's another one that they produce. There's a lot of different labels out there that can really hit home and help you find values. And the best way to really track it down, if you have a favorite winery, say you absolutely love Behringer Wine Estates and you love all their reserve stuff, go talk to a wine shop and say, hey, listen, I really love Behringer Private Reserve Chardonnay. Is there anywhere you can direct me? And what they'll do is they'll send you down to Behringer Napa Chardonnay. There's too many tiers and too many levels and too many cool things out there right now. If you can't afford to drink what you like, it's kind of like that song, Love the One You're With. Love what you can drink and what you can afford, and trust me, you'll find some stellar opportunities out there. All right, continuing on the wine line, we have Miss Kathy.
I'm from Chicago and was wondering how reliable are tasting notes? I see some of those in the stores and in some of the magazines and just didn't know how reliable or how much I should trust those. And they're sometimes difficult to read, so any advice would be great.
Kathy, this is actually a lot of fun talking about tasting notes. First off, when you mention the stores, a lot of times shelf talkers, and that's what we're calling the tasting notes. When you walk up and down a wine shelf, you'll see little cardboard things glued under the bottles. These are things to get your attention. They usually have press on them saying, we've got an 89 in Wine Spectator, and then they give you a description of the wine. This is one of my pet peeves, and if you can find a wine shop that does this, find another wine shop. They'll have those little tasting notes and the Spectator ratings up there. This 2006 Chardonnay got a 90 point from Robert Parker. The only problem is it's 2008 Chardonnay sitting on the shelf. So you need to find a wine store that will actually keep up with those things. As a whole, tasting notes can give you some guidance as to what you're going to find in wine. What I don't recommend people doing is grabbing a glass of wine, then reading the tasting note while they're tasting the wine. Simply because you're going to get the flavors that are in the tasting note. I've proved this 1,000 times. I can make you think anything I want to is in that wine. You're going to try. I can tell you that wine tastes like Saddled Pony. And if you're really sitting there looking at me, I can make you believe that. Tasting notes are supposed to be a guide point and high mark. If you absolutely hate green apples and the tasting note says it tastes like green apples, that's as far as you need to go. But when you start getting down that this is a great Chardonnay with a honey overtone and a hint of apricot on the nose, and on the mid-palate you get a little bit of green apple, and then on the finish you get nice, ripe vanilla and caramel notes. Nice body, long finish. That stuff that we make up on a daily basis, just made it up here. So keep that in mind. They're always subjective. So hope that helps, but ultimately use them as a guidepost and go from there. All right, last call on the wine line for right now is Pam. Pam, welcome to The Crush.
I was wondering if you could tell me what a wine flight is. I saw it offered in a restaurant.
A wine flight. These are things, especially now with the U.S. airplane that went down on the Hudson, this is what you have to get on the planes over and over again, a lot of wine. No, that was probably a little, yeah, my producer's glaring at me. That didn't go over quite well. But ultimately, a wine flight is when you go to a restaurant. These are great right now to get a good value and to try new wines. Whereas you might want to go out and spend $10 on a glass of Viognier, if you can find someone who's doing a flight of Viognier. What this is, it's generally 3 to 4 glasses, and they put the 4 glasses in front of you, and they range from about 2 to 3 ounces in each glass. And you can have the flights be, they're all Chardonnays, they're Chardonnays from Napa Valley, they're Chardonnays from Sonoma Valley, they're Sauvignon Blanc. Restaurants who are really progressive and have strong wine programs, do these and do these well. It is the best way for a novice to go in on a limited budget to a restaurant and find out what they like. My girlfriends and I will go out. If there's four of us at the table, we'll order four different flights. And each one of us will try and take, oh, I like a sip of that, I like this, I like that. And by the time we're done, we know what wine we want to order. And of course, we've had fun and experienced different regions and different wines. Just make sure if you're going to do that with a big group, no one has a cold, which, as you can tell, I have a little bit of the sniffles, and that's exactly how I got it, was playing with wine flights. So hopefully that helped a little bit. We need you to call us, 877-4-CRUSH-1, and drop a call on the wine line. Then you, too, can be a celebrity and be part of the crush. Also, for the Shire types out there, you can email us at info@winecrush.com. Of course, by going to winecrush.com, you can get involved in my blog, and I encourage all of you to. I have made a sworn promise that I'm keeping up to date with it, and since my producer doesn't look over my shoulder when I'm writing my blog, I can pretty much do what I want to. So for those of you who like to see the rougher side of the Wine Crush, please go there. Additionally, I now have a Facebook page. So for those of you out there who want to get involved a little bit more at the Crush and a little bit more with your host, please look me up. I am Laura Berg Lawson, and I'm learning how to use Facebook, so if I don't get right back to you, be patient. At some point, I will find no way to tear up that computer. All right, we are closing up on this segment, but once again, we encourage you, reach out to us so that you too can be part of the Wine Crush, 877-4-CRUSH-1, or email info@winecrush.com. All right, more exciting tidbits when we return.
We will sell no wine before it's time.
The Wine Crush.
If you're self-employed or run a small business, you know your business bottom line. But do you know your bottom line when it comes to your family's health insurance? The Mega Life and Health Insurance Company helps self-employed folks and small business owners focus on the bottom line every day when it comes to their health insurance plans. Here's the bottom line. If you don't have the right health insurance plan, you could be in trouble. Check your health insurance coverage today and call Mega, where the bottom line is quality health insurance designed for the self-employed and small business owners.
Call now for your free health insurance quote. 800-700-5437. 800-700-5437. That's 800-700-5437.
Market and plans vary by state. Not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? You're not alone. Increasing prices and the costs of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts in collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
Well, howdy! Thanks for coming to Big Bubba's. We got a mess of used cars. What can we do for you?
We're looking for,
something cute.
Well, here's a beauty. A 99 model with a moonroof. As a bonus, we'll throw in a leaking gas tank. You could be driving and kaboom! Adds that zing of excitement.
You got any other cars?
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
Baby, when I think about you, I think about love.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and you are tuning into the show that's all about the grape and all its glory. Today we have scratched the surface on the concept of green and what it means to you and what it means in your wine. And I have to admit, the last few shows I have gotten off on a soapbox at the beginning of the hour. I have saved my soapbox to the end of the hour just to clarify a couple of things. I think it's great that it is said 60% of the American wineries are getting on board with being green, being organic, being biodynamic, being sustainable. And I think that has to be the future of our industry if we are going to continue to compete and to make world-class exceptional wines. You cannot abuse the ground too much or we're not going to be in play. But I do want to make a commentary on this. I am behind people doing what's best for the environment. But you have to understand, in the United States, with the labeling laws the way they are, we copy this in one show and we can put it back up on the website if we need to. There's only seven things that legally have to be on a label. In those seven things is nothing that clarifies whether the winery is green, organic, biodynamic, or sustainable. There are some people that will argue with me and say in Napa and in California, there are certifications that can say I am organically certified. Yes, but another winery from Sonoma can put we are organically growing our wines, or we expect to be. So please don't be deceived by what you're looking at labels and what you're looking at in the newsprint. The only way to know if these wineries are making an effort and making an impact, go to their websites, call up the wineries, check them out. If you have favorite wineries that you know are green, please spread the word, talk about them. Let people know that you appreciate what they're doing. Because unfortunately, when it comes down to it, just like anything in the United States, you can pretty much put whatever you want to on that label. And there's no way to say whether that wine is a reserve, it's the vintner's reserve, it's the present reserve. In other words, it doesn't really mean a damn thing. So keep that in mind when you're out there and you're hoping and you're rooting for the wineries who are trying to hold on for the environment for your children. Go to the websites, check them out, verify it for yourself. Because the genius of marketing, you never really know what's there. Well, we've had fun today. Thank you, Alice Fearing, for being on our show. Thank you for your calls and your emails to keep us entertained and to help keep you enlightened. We encourage all of you to keep up with the crush. But most importantly, drink responsibly, sip socially, and in vino veritas, in wine there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'm looking forward to talking with you next week.